a martial arts movie podcast.
Ha-ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Yeah! Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your boss.
And now...
Call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
A lot of new releases coming out right now, all of which require us to be in movie theaters again. Thank you, Zero, for entertaining me with that.
I like going to the movie theaters. I much prefer watching movies in the theater if it's a good movie.
Yeah, like for me, I have a higher threshold for like what constitutes as I need to watch this in a movie theater. I love watching film, obviously. That's why we do this, but I like being at home and comfortably. And is this movie worth going out of your way to watch in a movie, in a theater, having the whole cinematic experience? I don't know. I'd say no.
Why would you say no, Will, to Boy Kills World?
Is this the sequel to Boy Meets World?
No.
No, it's not. It's not.
Not at all.
Is this even based off of any other source material?
It's based off of a short film.
That's it? But also by the director, right?
Yeah. They pitched this movie and it got picked up. We got Sam Raimi coming on to be a producer. Don't know what that means exactly.
That doesn't mean anything. Actually, I brought this movie up to a colleague of mine, and she was like, Sam Raimi produced it. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, anything at all to me.
I think it might mean something, but I think we can get into it as we describe the story and the actors involved.
Sure. Well, actors involved. Why don't we talk about Bill Skarsgård, who is in everything?
Well, maybe it's just because we saw a trailer for The Crow before this.
Yeah.
But he's been, you know, after It, him doing Pennywise the Clown and being great in that sort of physical performance of him, he's getting roles, so good for him.
Good
for him, yeah.
Yes, very good for him. He's literally in everything, to the point where I question, why did he take on this project?
I don't know. I mean, you guys got to eat, right?
Yeah, that's true. He's very accomplished right now, and he's starring. He's getting all these roles. This is a questionable one. The exception that, like, okay, fine. If he just wants to do action movie, then I'm all for it. A part of me was also kind of maybe not hopeful, but maybe a little bit of, you know, at least expecting some quality or some standard that I'd be like, okay, I came out of that feeling pretty good. Like, this is a pretty serviceable action movie. And up to the halfway part, and this is me being the less forgiving one of the two of us, I was okay. I was kind of on board. And then suddenly the movie just falls apart so badly. And I think you had a lower threshold than me. You were like 10 minutes in and you're like, I'm ready to call it quits here.
I don't know if I would say call it quits. I noticed that after a very fun opening montage, which is something you don't see very often, the montage generally happens towards the end of the film, to open on a montage that piqued my interest because it's so different. I would say unique to give this movie a bone. And sure. after that, and after we get into the story, which is Bill Skarsgård, his family is murdered before his eyes by this authoritarian sort of government. And so he seeks revenge by seeking out the help of a martial arts shaman played by Yayan, famous from the Raid movies. And essentially, he grows up to become an adult, and then he just torpedoes his way towards the people who wronged him. And that's like the basic premise of the film.
That's the whole movie you just described.
Well, there's, you know, he runs into colorful characters. Andrew Koji, famous from Warrior. Mm-hmm. Who is...
And Snake Eyes.
And Snake... Oh.
So famous for that.
So famous for Snake Eyes. Was he just on a lot of coke? He's trying. He's trying to do something with his performance. And I think cocaine was the inspiration or the direction from whomever. Because he's going overboard. And I think they needed to do something with him. Because one thing I didn't mention is Bill Skarsgård's character is deaf and mute.
Yes.
So technically, during this whole story, he does not verbally communicate with anybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, but instead he has the voice of Archer, John H. Benjamin, voicing over him. And that is not enough of a reason to make me laugh. I mean,
you mentioned this and I confirmed it. I don't think I laughed once.
Yeah.
Sort of H. John Benjamin quip.
Yeah.
I mean, very well known for his voice. He has a very, very distinctive voice. So I mentioned this earlier. I think after this movie got picked up and maybe they screened it, you know, did early screenings, I don't think the voiceover was originally there. I have a feeling that the producers, maybe Raimi or just somebody at the studios, watched this and thought, oh, he's deaf and that's it. We have Andrew Koji going overboard and other characters go overboard, and I have a feeling people said it's not enough. Give him a voiceover. Give us a quirky, like cartoony, I don't know, like kind of guy, and like, oh yeah, give him Archer, give him H. John Benjamin. That's my like cynical take on it, like thinking about what's going on behind the scenes.
I don't know if that's actually what happened. I think they did have a voiceover in mind from the get-go. I mean, otherwise some of the scenes wouldn't make sense. Like, at least, no, like in terms of like the way that some scenes play out, like it needed some sort of internal monologue. Like that's his way of interacting with how a scene will play out. So I think it had to have been there. It's just, but I get it that this is an action comedy, and you could say subjectively, like, we didn't find it funny. Like, I didn't find it funny. Like, there may be like a couple of times I chuckled because, the main character is not understanding this one guy. And I thought, okay, that's kind of funny. But outside of that, I don't know, I just felt like I was sitting there watching like a Family Guy episode. And I mean, not the fact that like I'm not a fan of Family Guy, but it's like not even a good episode of Family Guy.
You mean in terms of comedy?
In terms of comedy, it's like a filler episode of Family Guy. It's like that pedigree of lazy joke writing, and that's why how I equated the whole movie. I barely found myself even remotely chuckling. I was just like, okay, that scene played out. And I think the only reason why some of the dialogue was supposed to elicit laughter is because we have Bob from Bob's Burger narrating the movie. That's not going to get a laugh from me. In fact, I thought some of the jokes were kind of telegraphed. Like, I think it's in one of the trailers. Like, one guy's, he's doing this little monologue and he's like, yeah, I'm going to switch sides. Like, I believe that, you guys are in the right cause. Meanwhile, Andrew Koji just has this giant heavy object in his hand. He's about to crush this guy's head. And like, it goes on for a very long time. And all I was thinking, like, remember when in Family Guy, there was like that, there was just like be that really long gag before, and suddenly they cut away to a country singer. Like, that's that kind of shit that does not make me laugh. So
okay.
That's my really fucking weird ass.
I'm not sure where you're going with it. The comedy is not good. I don't even think this was supposed to be a comedy at all, but
really?
Oh, man. Maybe. Well, let's get off the comedy because I don't care about any of it. And you don't care about any of it. So yeah. Then what about the story? Because this is a very simple, I would say it's somewhat simple revenge, right? Mm-hmm. You got this boy, he's wronged. He grows up to become Alex Skarsgård, very buff, very tall, good-looking guy. But you can't just have a simple revenge story because that's boring. So what do you mix it with? You get, I don't know, like kind of like a lot of the reviewers I saw kept on comparing this like a like a Saturday morning cartoon.
No.
Very kind of silly
because
of the serial tie-in. You have a world where a cereal company sponsors this event that goes on in the world called the Culling, where I guess people are killed for entertainment purposes. I don't even remember the purpose of it, but I remember saying to you, so this is just like the Running Man?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Running Man?
Guys, every time Zero whispered something that he suspected would eventually be true in the movie, I just said, Zero, I hate you because you're probably right. You're probably right about that because that's hacky writing. And lo and behold, he was right every single time.
Oh, God. I'm like,
no way. That's too stupid. They're not going to do that. But you're probably right.
And then they did that.
And that's exactly what happened.
You know what?
And when...
I just want to say, I don't like to talk during movies in the theater. I try to respect everyone around me. I think that just goes to the quality of this film. It wasn't doing anything for me, so I felt the need to make a joke at the movie's writing expense, and it turned out I was correct in some of the hacky writing choices that happened.
Yeah, man. Speaking of which, it hacky, yes, but just overly predictable. Everything, I mean, like you predicted it even before I did, but... like it's baffling that the story kind of just randomly resolves itself around the main character. Things will happen outside of the main, like any of the lead characters doing. Like I can't really spoil too much, but like the whole totalitarian regime kind of just dissolves around the main characters.
Oh, you mean without like at their the end of the doing movie?
Yeah, like what the hell? Like it's as if the main characters didn't even need to be there. It just decides to unravel by itself. Like characters switch sides for no apparent reason. Or
sure, okay.
Yeah, I had no idea why this was happening. I will say there's a couple twists in the movie, one of which is very obvious, which again, Zero, I hate you for.
I don't like to do that. I did that because I thought there's no way it would be this obvious, and I was right. And I thought, oh, why?
Why? Yeah, yeah. Actually, if you go to Wikipedia and you look up the characters, it just flat out spoils one.
Does it say?
Yeah, like I'm not gonna say what it is here, but
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, yeah. They write it out.
Fucking spoiler. Mm-hmm. But like, there's a bigger reveal there. Like that one, I'm okay with. I was like, okay, that's a pretty deep cut there. But outside of that, is that enough for me to feel engaged with the story? Not really. I really did check out because of the fact that the movie randomly unwinds on itself. It's like, why is this everything happening without our main characters really being proactive in the story? Why is it that like suddenly allegiances are changing behind the scenes? Like that was really off-putting, and I felt like the movie gave up. The writers just completely gave up. I'm like
I like
we,
that.
We,
I like
we
that.
Need to like the main character's captured, and we need to figure out a way for him to get out of this. Well, whatever, he gets out of it. that's yeah. how it feels. That's what it feels like when as you're watching the film.
I mean. Stuff happens, and he gets assistance from other characters to get out of these very dire situations, and I would say that's just it. Like, they wrote him in to almost die, and then he gets out of it.
Oh, man. It's not very cathartic. It's not very cathartic. It's not very satisfying anyways. So you really only have to latch on to the action. Well, Zero, what are your thoughts on the action?
Okay. So when I first saw this, the trailer, I thought, like, okay, you know, very standard looking action movie. Oh, Yaya, Yayan.
Mm-hmm.
Yayan from The Raid. Yayan Ruhian? Probably mispronouncing that.
I'm always going to just call him Yayan, but yes.
Yeah, but yeah, Mr. Yayan plays the shaman character who teaches Bill Skarsgård how to fight. And looking through like some of the featurettes and making ups and whatnot, it's like, oh, I think he probably had a hand at some of the action. And in the final fight, it's very clear he probably choreographed that himself.
Sure.
So I was very excited because, hey, you have Yayan in a Hollywood film. I think the last time, when was the last time we saw him? Right? Was it John Wick 3?
And then he was yeah.
Yeah, and then he was in, like, it's funny, anytime anyone mentions him, they always say he's from The Force Awakens because he has that, like, tiny role. So, yeah, I'm excited sure. for these martial artists, these international martial artists to get these roles that put them, that highlight them for American audiences who would never know about him.
Mm-hmm,
and so I got excited because of his involvement. And then when you see the final product, I realize he didn't really have anything to do with it until the very last fight.
The very end, yeah.
And don't like what I'm seeing at all on screen.
Well, if you like The Raid or The Raid 2, if you kind of want to see some of that brutality, you get it the most at the end, right? Because of his involvement, yeah. Would I say that the choreography is great? It's the best you can see out of the whole film, for sure, yes. Because Yayan's involved, and he's the most acrobatic. It's the most uncut action you'll see in the movie without these overly enthusiastic camera movement. There's a lot of, the tracking of characters or performers as they're moving all around the screen, which is, like, in the scenery, which is fine. But I do think that it's sometimes too frenetic. And I just want it to be, like, wide. Do you just focus on the action, you know?
So some of my issue is the camera work. Actually, probably most of it. They got drones. They got drones for a lot of this. And they said, fuck it. We spent a lot of budget on these drones. We got to use them.
Yep.
And they are overusing this one toy that they got, and yeah, I don't think it adds anything to cinematic flair of the movie, because when you see it happen, when you see the camera start zooming past and going around, that's just a drone shot, and it didn't feel necessary.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays everything has drones in it, right? So when everything has it, it just kind of gets muddied. Right. There's nothing special about it.
You can make a drone shot work, because having a camera fly through a scene, maybe when the screen is filled with hundreds of extras, that's exciting. You use it when it's necessary or when it's visually needed. Here, I think they had the drone camera, so they wanted to make sure they got their money's worth. And it's just used all over the place, and it's not used well.
Yeah.
That's my issue with it. It's not used well.
It's used best in this movie during the parkour-esque scenes, but for the hand-to-hand or weapons or all that, those fights, I feel like it's misused. It tracks them well enough, but I want it to be more traditional. Like, I just want to be able to see what's going on uninterrupted. That's just... Sure. It's more clear. It's a lot more clear in that sense.
That might be our preference too, though. We tend to like martial arts fights to look a certain way. Yeah. And I get it. You know, maybe what happened, because I didn't see the short film. So maybe what I'm assuming is they had this short film. They pitched it It's probably maybe looks similar. I'm assuming it looks similar. It's filled with frenetic camera work. It's kind of all over the place. It's exciting. It's wacky. There's probably giant stuffed animals fighting. You know, like everything that's in the movie is probably, or in that short is probably in this movie. Yep. So that's probably what they got sold on. So the studio's like, yeah, we like that. Put it here. And they're just maybe giving us that short film. And that's just what this is.
Duh. Yeah, I don't. The movie doesn't even end on a conclusive note. It's right. I think they just walk in.
I feel like the conclusive note is we're the bad guys.
yeah. But well, I mean, they kind of walk it back, walk into the sunset, but both of them look mortally wounded. I'm not gonna say who, but they, you know, the characters look mortally wounded, and it's supposed to be like you don't know, and then the credits roll and.
Oh, I don't know if I would agree with that. I think it's just a happy ending.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, like, as a whole. Because, you know, like, I obviously didn't enjoy the movie. I thought it was kind of hacky and just kind of a waste of time. But I think it's just a generic action movie, all in all. Right? Subpar, sub-mediocre action movie.
I don't know if I would say subpar. It's trying a lot of stuff. It's going overboard a little too much. I think they went a little too crazy with the action direction, which was probably the selling point. And sometimes you like that, but I don't think what was presented here enticed me at all. Yeah. I found myself feeling that the action was very derivative at times. It just looked like everything I've seen before. And
yeah, sure.
When you watch it, it's funny. When I watched this in the trailer, I thought, oh, these are really cool moments, how it's strung together in the trailer. But when you watch it play out in the movie within the story and then the action scene as a whole, I found myself not interested in it at all. Like, nothing came from me from watching
it. To me, that's the definition of being subpar.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah. I just didn't like it. It elicited no emotion from me when watching the action and then the movie as a whole. I felt like I was just this disembodied person looking at the screen. Yeah, it could have been the alcohol.
I mean, I'm glad we had it because I would have been livid if I was watching it and like just watching the movie fall apart. Because for me, there was a turning point where it really did feel like they gave up with the story. And like watching that sober would have been horrible. Would have been so upset. Hey, you remember that one action moment when Bill Skarsgård he goes into a hallway and there's like 20 dudes?
Oh my God.
Yeah, you want to see the action? Well, too bad. Let's just get an extreme close-up of Bill Skarsgård's face. And then the next thing you know it, everyone else is dead.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're playing with expectations. Because fuck I did... that. I think, I you know what? I laughed at that scene because I was kind of losing my mind. Like, oh, they ran out of budget. They were supposed to be a cool hallway fight here. And he just plows through in first person kind of point of view, and then they're all dead. But
oh my God.
But then the movie does kind of give us another hallway fight after that. So yeah, maybe they knew.
Still not good. That hallway fight is overly edited and reliant on the drones and all the things we complained about. Whole movie is kind of subpar.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Will? Would you recommend this?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. After everything I just said.
Oh, boy, love
this film. Like, I don't have good reasoning for saying why I love it, but clearly, after everything I've said already, I love this movie.
Wow. that took a different turn. I was not expecting that.
You love it too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I do love this movie. Boy, did not kill my expectations for action films in 2024. Not at all. This revived it. I now love all action movies going forward. Thank you, Boy Kills World.
all jokes aside, Zero, when he came out of the movie theater, was like, I think this is the worst movie I've seen all year.
Oh, yeah, I did say that.